Hey everybody, it's Matt Michaels here. I'm the DeFalco Files, the owner and creator of FSW, the future stars of wrestling here in Las Vegas, Joe DeFalco. And Joe, it is now a week after the big 15th anniversary show at the Silverton Casino. And as we started, you said good, bad, and ugly should be a nice little title for, you know, what happens in the sense of... After, you know, dealing with everything, you can kind of look back and there was a bit of everything going on. I guess the easiest place to start is the good, because it's the first word, right? So
I guess, you know, sometimes you don't want to hear the bad thing last, but, you know, the good, the place was packed, well over 600 people there. The good, the show was stacked from beginning to end. The timing of the show was less than 3 hours.
Yeah.
You know, the gate was great. It was actually an extremely profitable show. We progressed a lot of things. We had new champions. You know, everything from bell to bell inside that ring from when we got there was awesome. Now, obviously, there was things that were happening during the show that were chaotic and irritating. And, you know, we haven't even aired on Fight TV yet.
Right.
And it's like, so we're on your schedule for Sunday. We had major internet issues that we can address. Like, why the fuck is the Ethernet cable? It's a plug-in. It worked fine two other times. And it's like they always seem to have issues with their internet. Get it fucking fixed. We're paying, motherfucker. Yeah. Like, what the fuck? And it's like, you know, the one guy who we dealt with the two times is there. The other guy, hey, can we get the Wi-Fi? You know, the password. Oh, there's the free internet. Dude, we're not looking for the fucking shitty free internet. We're looking for the Wi-Fi. Not your, hey, wow. You're a customer. And you want to go online and, you know, check out what's on Yahoo. We're trying to stream here. So we're trying to get whatever connections because your Ethernet cable isn't working right. You know, oh, well, that's a Jamie issue. Jamie's the guy who runs the arena. And he's the guy we deal with. Oh, but it's his day off and he's not coming in during an event. So it's like, there's the hassle. You know, we're up front. And the show's literally 20. It was 5:20 because I got the message. And the line was already from the beginning of the first bar all the way past that bar to the second bar. Past the production, past the sound equipment. You know, we go and like, not that we get one penny from bar sales, but... there's a line of 50 people already. And I'm walking to the front and Rocky goes to the lady like, hey, there's a line of like 50 people. Can we get another bartender? By the time I walk back to the first bar, I got a message from the guy at the casino that wasn't there. I call him back. Hey, bro, you can't be talking to my staff like that. I'm like, okay, first off, it wasn't me. And I was right there when it happened. And he's basically saying, hey, there's a line basically down the fucking street. Can you get a second bartender? And it's like, so there's 600 people in the Vail Pavilion, give or take, not counting staff and everything else. There's 700 people in this place.
Right.
You got one bartender. So even if you thought, because by the day of the show, you only had 300 tickets sold. In what world do you look at the ticket sales and say, yeah, one bartender should be good for 300 people? Now, let's just say that's what you think, okay?
Right.
Now, walk into the casino that doesn't have 300 people in there, and I guarantee you there's 10 bartenders and 10 waitresses all right. Scattered all over the place. There's 20 of them for 150 people. Yep. But we can't get a second one.
Well, not only that, but Joe, dealing with facilities for years and years and years, the honest answer is you start overstaffed and you cut as you go along. So,
right. They're not a union hall. There isn't an 8-hour minimum for bringing somebody in.
So you cut them. Yeah. If there was not enough, then you cut someone after an hour. And then if you have three bartenders, let's say now you're down to two. And then if it's still slow, you cut another one after an hour. And that's all seniority based too. So yeah, that's ridiculous.
And the bottom line is you could say whatever. Why don't you go over the last three events? There's a good amount of sales the day of, so you can take that into consideration.
Right.
But you know we're relatively busy. The last show we did at the end of March, I told you was going to be busier than that.
Right.
And one bartender wasn't enough then.
Yeah.
So, you know, the show doesn't even start and for some reason the hard cam, instead of put on one of their actual whatever it's called, you know, they have like not really a stand, but they have, you know, a big area where we can put it on. Right. For whatever reason, they decide to grab our people, not them, a table. Well, it was fine that we have the table for the one hard cam right next to us. We're kind of monitoring it.
Right.
But we didn't need it in the corner. And of course, it fell down and broke in 12 fucking pieces. So there's another $1,000. It's like, when we make money, it seems like there's a way to figure out how to make less.
Yeah.
You know? So I think that might be considered the ugly.
Yeah, no, that's definitely not considered. That definitely is the ugly.
You know, and the bad is, you know, there's messages on the Facebook post for the student page, and it's like, hey, just because you're in the Battle Royal doesn't mean you don't have to do anything. It's like, get back into your security gear. You're working the show. You're getting the privilege of being on the anniversary show. And now all of a sudden there's a bunch of people that are sitting at the merch table because they're thinking they're going to sell two t-shirts. Then, and again, I'm hearing it from the students. Guy in the Battle Royal, he's hanging out with his girlfriend in the fourth row, making out, having fun, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, where is fucking the etiquette and professionalism? And it's like, Jesus Christ, like to the outside world. So if you came to the show, it was fucking great because you don't know all the little inner shit. And it's like even a lot of the stuff with the students and the wrestlers that are on the show. Oh, it went great. It went great. Yeah. The way you see it went great. Again, it's another day of me running around like a fucking idiot, trying to fix things, put out fires, get into arguments. Like, can we get for what we pay for? This right. is what we pay for. Hey, can we get a discount? Well, you know, I threw in the lighting guy, so you got the sound and lighting for that $600. I get there. There's no lighting guy. There's a lady there. She's like, oh, yeah, they after the show Friday, they just put the lights on the ring, and they just told me to hit the button. So you just basically lied to me and said, the reason we can't like discount you $300-$400, even though you bring in money, is I'm going to give you the lighting guy. Like you did me a favor. I'm going to give you that lighting guy for free. Oh, wait, now there's no lighting guy. Well, what say we had an angle like we did and we want some stuff to happen on the stage. The lighting guy can help by putting stuff there. But no, we can't touch anything. It's right there. That's how it is. So then why do I need the sound guy? All he needs to do is show up, give me the box, I plug it in, and somebody turns the volume up and down.
Yeah.
Because the sound goes through us, and it connects to your board. Our microphones, they're your house mics, all we do is turn them on. All right, if you say we have to do that because it's your people, I guess. But then one or the other, discount us or give us the lighting guy. Like, why is it a game? Why can't it just be, hey, you know what? Shit, we paid, FSW pays this amount. We charge $6 a ticket sold. That's a couple $1,000s right there on $6 a ticket. Wow, they're bringing good money. Oh, and there's a bar. But now if I go to you, hey, what about that discount? You know, yeah, but look at all those people you had. And their breakdown for the bar was this. Well, do you think maybe it has to do with the fact you only had one bartender and people waited 40 minutes for a drink? So how many drinks didn't get sold? Nah, can't be that. It's our fault. It's our people don't drink and spend money. It's never like, wow, FSW is there 3-4 times a year. We'd love to figure out a way that we can get FSW there 6-8 times a year. It's free money.
Right.
We're not the Queen tribute band and every other tribute band that you pay to be there. And right. Then you can go on house seats and get those tickets for free. So you pay them. You got to like basically go to house seats and get tickets. You know, no offense, but if your tribute band was drawing 400 people, you probably didn't do house seats. But if you did house seats, that makes me think you probably sold less than 200 tickets. So now you paid them. You don't pay us. You give away tickets. We put 600-700 people between the wrestlers who are going to eat after the show and their families and the fans who come to the show. How many people did we bring into your casino more than those people did? And if you want to break down the ratios money-wise of the value, we're more valuable than pretty much everybody. You know, I can't believe even to this day that Billy Ocean is packing the house in there with $50 tickets. Love Billy Ocean. We're being Queens of Classic. But you know, I remember in the past, hey, you drive down 15, Juice Newton.
Right.
Yep. You had house seats for Juice Newton. How about, hey, that FSW seems to draw and they give us money. Like, wow, it looks so great on the marquee. I'm told, hey, it was actually inside for the first time. So you run the cycle on the marquee. It looks great. Everybody raves about it. But when Metalachi plays there, they're all over the place. They'll even have a billboard that they rotate on Blue Diamond. Metalachi. Queen Tribute Band.
Yeah.
We outdrew all of them, yet we didn't get that. And it's extremely disappointing. And it's like, hey, man, we love when you're here. You know, are you? Oh, yeah. And we set up all the chairs, not the Silverton who have to pay people to set up the entire room. I didn't realize till the end of the show because somebody told me, Jamie, not that Jamie, but the Jamie, the fan, that right. They didn't close the curtains all the way. So with the Jamie who runs the room not being there, it's almost like the substitute teacher's in charge who has no idea how we have our room run. I'm running around. Nobody pays attention. And now you can kind of see in the back where people are, the wrestlers.
Right. Yep.
You know, this show is all about the aura of professional wrestling. And we can't even get the fucking curtains closed. And again, love the venue. I'm okay with paying.
Right.
Can we please just get what, like, when you expect me to give you a check, I don't say, hey, why don't you do me a favor? You're going to give me a check at the end of the week, at the end of the month anyway, because I got to, you know, pay for that. So since I got to pay for the guys before the show's over, I also have to pay you for the room beforehand. How about we take that fee and we put it on the back end? No, 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 no. Okay, here's your money. Now I got to have everybody get the tickets through them, but our people want to go through me. So they send me money, Zelle, and whatever. And then I have to go online. I'm online at 2:30 in the afternoon, show day, with the slow Wi-Fi, free Wi-Fi, because it sucks. And it took me fucking 20 minutes, and I had to order 50 tickets to get back that money in 2 weeks, because it's my money. So, back to the good. You know, big meetings, you know, new champions.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, also the bad, whatever issues happened there, there was no commentary. So me and Jake had to go in for 2.5 hours the other day and do it. Then Mikey sends me the file to upload the fight, and it's an MKV file. And the MKV file doesn't work on Sony Vegas or Adobe. So now I'm sitting there, and my VLC media player claims it turns it to an MP4. So I do it for a couple hours. It turns out it saved it as an MKV. Why, I don't know. Finally, it ends up saving the right way. 8 hours in, I'm still only 40%. Jeez. So Mikey's like, well, maybe we could pull it from the YouTube. So I have a second computer. Here's the one good. I got a second computer. So I got the desktop. I hook it up. All of a sudden, the YouTube, it doesn't work. You can't use the file. So I'm like, all right, let me make a copy. I'll bring it over here, the MKV file. And I run it the same exact way. Maybe it was a different version of the MP4. But within an hour, it saved it as an MP4 file. I'm like, all right, we're there. I bring the file over to my laptop. Doesn't play on the Sony Vegas. Oh, I'm like, what the flying fuck am I going to do? So I make a copy of it. I bring it to the school. Turns out Mikey ends up coming in, and he's got the Adobe. I got the Sony Vegas. Okay. I'm like, hey, you can try this. Maybe it'll work. It says it's an MP4, and it says it should play. Thankfully, it actually worked in his. So now we're at the process. But, of course, it's like I said, the fight. Well, it says we're supposed to be on Sunday. Then it said we're going to be on Monday. Then it said it was going to be on Tuesday. And I'm like, I haven't talked to anybody there. The guy we deal with passed away tragically out of nowhere last week. So now it's like I check it Monday or so or Tuesday. And it's like, oh, by Wednesday or Thursday, basically it says already purchased, available yesterday. So I message him and I'm like, hey, I got to re-upload the file. We got issues. So it didn't air, obviously. Can we air it like on Friday? Nope, it's got to be next Tuesday because this was Tuesday. I'm like, okay, I know you say it's usually a week in between, but we're already in the system. Why can't we just take the file and put it on Thursday? And it's just like, I don't understand. Just drains the life out of you. Because on the outside, I'm supposed to look at this as what a success it was. But there's just so much negative stuff that it just brings you down. And then it's like, oh, yeah, and we got a show that's now 10 days away, 9 days away, that we haven't really announced anything yet. The new heavyweight champion is going to be there, Danny Limelight. And I might as well announce it now. We're going to do Jacob Austin Young is going to wrestle Bateman for the Nevada State Championship in a lumberjack match. Big match.
Huge.
Nice to get it out there as quick as possible. You're running around. You can't pass the information to the guy doing the flyer. I'm like, hey, Tom, we need this shit done now. It's like, I know you have another job, but, you know, it is what it is. You know, the bottom line is, it's like, need more help. Well, but fortunately, a lot of the stuff is skill-oriented, and you can't just tell a kid, hey, we need you to do this, right, when they're not capable of doing it. It's not their fault. Just like, yeah, with production. Well, there's only so much I can do. Like, yeah, I can put it in Sony Vegas and I can edit a match like we did. I edited the matches for the, and I haven't edited matches in years, but I did it when we were at the Toy-Con because we didn't do anything live. So it was like, I need to get it done. There was only two cameras. It was a simple process.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of things I have no knowledge of, and neither do a lot of other people. Mikey has a regular job.
Right.
You know, Ben's got a regular job. And it's just like trying to get shit done and figure it all out. It's like, ugh. You just shake your head. And then it's like, hey, all right, we got to start pushing for the House of Glory thing. We got the Mania weekend. We got, you know, a major conversation, you know, looking to do where we wanted to do the 15th anniversary show. You know, right now we have that place on hold. Nice. So for the 16th anniversary, you know, great things could be happening. You know, people are contacting us about, hey, we'd love to sponsor. Well, that's what happens when there's success.
Right.
But you also, hey, man, I went to the Silverton. I kind of sucked. The show was good and all. Couldn't get a drink, you know, food and beverage. Maybe you want to exclude the term food. You know, food isn't a 42-pack of Doritos and Lay's potato chips that you picked up at Smith's for $19.99. I know the price because I do it all the time at the school.
Right.
And then the dollar or dollar 25 theater candy that you're going to try to sell for $3-4.
Right. Yep. Yeah. And let's face it too, with the bar, the detraction there is what a number of people had to do. And that is leave the show to go out into the casino to get the drink they wanted to get at the bar. So you're missing, you know,
right,
a portion of the show that you paid for, which that's what gets me mad, because you're running a house, man. That's the thing. It's when you have an audience, the whole idea is whatever you are advertising in terms of how it's going to be for that experience, for what you're paying for, that's what it should be. And could you imagine if, you know, you went to T-Mobile and then it's like, well, we have only one bartender on each floor. So you got to run outside and go to New York, or one of the casinos to get a drink and then come back in. It's ridiculous.
And I didn't even throw this out earlier. When we're talking about the 10 bartenders and waitresses that are out there, especially with the waitresses. Oh, and by the way, they're serving free drinks.
Right.
10 of them. How about one of them come in where they're actually buying drinks for full price?
Yep. And the tips are going to be much better.
You throw it in. I've said a million times, you get a waitress and you put 20 beers on the tray. If you're selling the beers for $5, they're now $6. So she's guaranteed to make $20 for a tray. Don't tell me if she goes with a cold beer that those beers aren't gone in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So she just made $20 in 5 minutes. She's not making $20 in an hour on the floor on a Sunday at 5 o'clock in the casino. And it ain't in any casino because there's 50 bartenders. So it isn't like you have the entire floor to make the money.
Right.
5 minutes, $20. That's $240 an hour. They hope to make $200 a shift.
Right.
Because absolutely. Who's to say another 30 minutes later they don't take another 20 beers?
Yeah.
And sell.
Yeah.
You know, I'll do it. I'll get somebody who has a TAM card and a sheriff's card. They could do it. Oh no, you can't. It has to be one of them. Like, how much money do you pay a bartender for 4 hours? $80?
Yeah. 80? Right. Right.
You know, I saw people just standing there waiting for fucking M&Ms.
Yeah.
Which is a 400% profit for them.
You know, and what's interesting too, and this is, like I said, if you had to go out to get your, you know, whatever you want to get, beverage, food, whatever.
I don't know. If you got food, you probably weren't allowed to bring it in, even if you got it from the Mexican restaurant next door or the noodle place or Johnny Rockets.
Right.
You can't come in with food.
And that.
Like street tacos. Why not take orders?
Yep.
What are the street tacos? Three for $10. You charge three for $12. So whoever does the running gets the $2. Yeah. We had FSW, GCW, and I had the guy who I get street tacos from him. He's got his own business. It's the actual building.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
And usually I like to get their grilled chicken, but we get the, you know, the chicken tacos, and he sells them for whatever it is, $3 a taco. So he gave me a discount. So we made 50 cents a taco. We'll give them to you for $2.50. Well, I raised the price and made him three for $10. So we basically made 83 cents a taco. FSW, GCW, only 250 people in the place. At the end of the day, that guy made over $500, his cut, and we made a couple $100 in a matter of 3 hours. So imagine being in a casino, you're hungry, and you're forced to eat M&Ms, or you can eat some chicken tacos or steak tacos, because that's your only item. Even back in the day, they used to have like the packaged sandwiches, which to me seemed like you got out of a vending machine, so I had no interest. But it's like at Sam's Town, we had a $3,000 food and beverage guarantee. And we didn't always make it with the beverage, but we would always do 800 to 1,000 in food. They had hamburgers. They had hot dogs. They had nachos. They had popcorn. Like, okay, you guys don't want to make sandwiches. You guys don't want to make hot dogs and hamburgers. You can't have the pretzels. You can't have the pop, the warm pretzels, popcorn. You got to have the machine somewhere. You know, you could bang out a popcorn for $5. It cost you 80 cents.
Yeah.
So, you know, definitely need to have a conversation. And that's also the problem. Hey, I'm dropping off the check. He's in a meeting. He just said, leave the check here. So now all of a sudden you can't go over the dynamics and the things that, hey, this is what happened last time. It's like, I got to write it down because in the heat of things, you forget every little thing. And it's like, oh yeah, I told them about three things, but there were seven.
Right.
Yeah. You know, I'm not coming at you, but it's like, this is how we can improve things.
Right.
Isn't the idea to make as much money as possible? It's like you're so nickel and dime with me about how we got to have the lighting guy and the sound guys for 600 in this, but you're okay with having one bartender and losing out on possibly $1,000, $2,000 in drinks? Because on that line of 50 people, do you think 10 people were like, screw it, I'll get a drink later? I'm not waiting 45 minutes. I don't know.
Yeah. No, it's true. One of the impressive things about that drink line is that the people actually stood and didn't face the bar as usual. They actually watched the show.
Yes, 100%. You know, and again, that's another thing. It's like the anniversary show is a big deal. You know, Ice came in, made his return. You know, he sold 30 tickets. Dave Mazzani probably sold 50 tickets. Braxton sold 25, 30 tickets. Somebody sold 10. Sugar Brown, first match back, he sold over 20 tickets. Judah Matthew in the Battle Royal probably sold like 8 to 10 tickets. Yeah. So instead of 50 or 60 tickets that are sold amongst all the wrestlers on the show, we're at 200 or 300. Yep. So that's why it's easy to get to over 600 people.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's putting forth the effort. Everybody had to work on this show. Yeah. And let me tell you something, man. You know, I'm watching the show. And again, I'm not watching the whole matches. You know, there was the issue in the ladder match with Ice and Braxton. And then Jake must have been getting a drink or went to the bathroom or whatever. And I was like, oh, there's nobody on commentary. So let me sit in. And it was fortunate because the match that was about to happen was the TNA match, as I like to call it. But it was for the Mecca Grand Championship. And it was Chris Bay versus Hammerstone that became Kenny King. And then Jay Vidal as a special surprise. So, you know, I learned two things. Man, the match was great. And B, Jay Vidal is as talented as all those other guys. And it's a real shame about how underutilized he is. TNA signs him and never uses the guy. You know, the guy, he's tremendous. And, you know, it's amazing to see the transformation of Chris Bay from when he started to even the 10-year anniversary pictures. You know, Chris is just in phenomenal shape. Kenny King, you know, the Hall of Famer, the vet of the group, you know, the old timer, as they like to say. And he's running with the pack, and Hammerstone is great as usual. And that's not even the semi-main event of this show. So, you know, as I said, from beginning to end, this show was great. Great show. Yeah. You can't be a wrestling fan, not watch that show and say, man, that was a really good show.
And I think one of the reasons being was it did what good wrestling shows do. And that is it had something for everyone.
Oh, you waiting for me? I didn't think you were finished.
I thought you froze. But it did. It really did have something for everyone. You can look at every match, and eventually something would hit you as, oh, my God, this, I love that. And you probably, in that house, had a high percentage of 40 to 60 or so people, you know, percentage of people who maybe never been to an FFW show or a wrestling show. So it was that you could something, you know, in the women's match.
Well, you kind of like, broke up when you were talking about the women's match.
Yeah. Like in the women's match, if you think about it, how many times do you get to see an absolute surprised winner of a match? Because Maz was absolutely surprised she was walking with that title.
Well, but look at the way that, okay, the show structure. So we have a battle royal. Normally, hey, it's the Nick Bockwinkel battle royal. It's a good chance for the younger guys. We got the Sin Bodies. We got Brett the Thread. We got the people. Eli Everfly gets hurt Saturday night. Hey, now the winner of the battle royal is getting a spot in the Cash in the Case ladder match. So Brett gets the double shine because he wins the battle royal and he gets to be in a marquee matchup also.
Right.
Then we got the No Limits Championship and there's a title change. Then the women's match is supposed to be a last woman standing match. And as of Tuesday or Wednesday, we were still hopeful that it was going to be Brittany Brooks. Where are we going with this? I don't know. I'm scrambling. What the fuck? What are we going to do? So it's like talking with Rochelle. Brittany's no good. And it's like, well, Zamaya just lost to Maserati. Why is Zamaya in and Maserati not? Why is the stat? So I was supposed to wrestle, as Rochelle says, I'm supposed to wrestle Brittany Brooks. And now it's like, okay, for some reason we got lucky and we got Jada Stone fresh off TNA appearance. So right. You know what? I don't want to do the same old thing. So, hey, let's put Jade in the match. Then it's like, well, I'm not sure the crowd's buying Rochelle Riveter versus Jada Stone because she's never wrestled for us. Right. So my thinking is, well, I'm not looking at Maz beat Zamaya, and how she beat her has nothing to do with it, but that's beside the point. But the fact of the matter is, okay, Gypsy's in the Battle Royal. Yeah, maybe we can pull her into that if we had to. But it's like Samaya should have had Moz beat. Whatever happened, happened. And now Rochelle's like, well, why am I losing out? Because I was supposed to wrestle a one-on-one. Now you're making it a two-on-one, technically, against me. Why can't Maserati be in the match? She's just as deserving. You're only keeping her out because she's my partner. Right. Makes sense. So now we got to put Maserati in the match. So now it becomes a four-way. So now, you know, and as we've seen, due to the success that Maserati has had over the last year, being on AEW, traveling all over, you know, the country, the world, it's like that respect thing of somebody who's been with us 10, 11 years.
Right.
And, you know, she came out and there was a pretty good reception. Probably she got the best reception of anybody in that match because she's the old school FSW chick. You know, people are like, hey, you know, we like and respect Maz, you know, despite her attitude in some cases. Right. So we have that. Then you go into, and that match had to be switched. That match ended up going on earlier. And then we went to what I call the plunder match. You know, it's the FSW originals. And that was just chaotic from head to toe, from beginning to end. And it was the car crash. And right. It was like, well, how do you follow up the car crash? Well, a bigger car crash. And that becomes the ladder match.
Right.
So now you got the ladder match. Whew, deep breath. Man, it's hard to follow that ladder match, man. It's like, wow, that was crazy. Back to back. Oh, shit. Hammerstone Bay and Kenny King. Oh, shit. And Jay Vidal. So now people are like, oh, cool. So there wasn't that, let's do this comedy match or let's do this little segment. Yeah. And then it was like, okay, right into it. Four-way elimination match for the tag titles. Oh, shit. 3 minutes in, the tag champs were taken out. And then we go to the main event. And then, you know, out comes the 10-year-old again. So, you know, it just continued to rise. No lulls whatsoever. And then all of a sudden, like I remember it was like the first hour. And we were into the fourth match. And I'm like, man, thought it was like 7 o'clock. It was like 6:06. I was like, holy shit, we're really making good time.
Good old internet connection.
Yeah.
But it, you know, that's the whole thing, that the pacing was good, the setup was good. The little things that stood out, and when I say little things, I'm talking about a little 10-year-old kid who helps dad win the FSW Heavyweight Championship. That was just fantastic storytelling. It was amazing to see. You know, she shows up a year ago. Danny's daughter is fantastic. Gets a little, social media buzz. A year later, she gets kicked out. She flicks off the referees. She comes back down. She gets pulled out by security. She throws the belt in. Oh, she does a DDT off the top rope on Shogun. I mean, how does Danny defend his title now without having her around? Because she's the most valuable valet in wrestling.
Well, you know, that was the only way Danny Limelight could be turned babyface, I guess you could say. That it's kind of weird, you know. It was also weird to me because it's like they're cheering her over the wrestler that they want to see win, but they want her to do cool things.
Right.
And are excited when she does stuff. So it's really a odd dynamic.
It's also... Gotta love Cox. But it also like things that are fun to see. A little kid being pulled out by what, 6 security guys?
Technically, yeah. But what are they gonna do? They're not gonna like throw her out. You know what I mean? It's like you have to be, you know, child endangerment laws.
Right. But it's just fun to see. And then, you know, and to think about, you know, it's like.
Just think of the squirrel that gets on the baseball field.
Right.
Yeah. You know, it's different than the adult male streaker and a security guard pop or a football player. They don't care. They got to be careful. Hey, it's a nice dog. Hey, it's a squirrel. Oh, it's a cat. It's a 10-year-old.
But the way it was handled, it was brilliant because you don't see it. And you got to see these kids too. You know, it's like, that's a funny thing is like these young, you know, students who are security guards chasing down a 10-year-old. And then Danny comes... And man, the first punch he throws was one of the stiffest fucking things across the hall. You saw that arm come and just bam. And I was like, dude, that is what makes it so real, right? Is Danny made the situation real. It was brilliant.
And here's a little behind the scenes 101. When you're a security guy, you're told beforehand, keep your glasses off. You're told. It's like, hey, anybody doing security, if you got glasses, don't be wearing them. So who gets popped? The guy with the glasses.
Oh, and I hope to goodness that Danny actually saw he was wearing the glasses and decided this. Here we go. Lesson 101. Bam. But just really, you know, a build up to him finally getting the title. When you look at the first time you brought Danny in and his evolution, not only as a wrestler, but as a person over these past number of years, he really has absolutely earned, everything that, you know, has come with the title, right? I mean, it's amazing to see that rise and how you can look at someone and go, yeah, I mean, this guy is 100% deserving of this. And not, you know, just because he's Puerto Rican, Joe.
No, and that's the truth. But it is helpful. You know, he's from New York. I'm from New York. He's full Puerto Rican. I'm half Puerto Rican. But it's like, if you approach me, I am extremely easy to talk to.
Right.
A lot of the younger talent are afraid to. They, which I've never understood, but they're intimidated. It's the boss. I get it. But I'm always very open and honest. I don't fuck around. I don't bullshit. You know, it was the running joke with Cage. And it's like, I might not pay you the best, but I pay you what I say I'm going to pay you.
Right.
You know, I don't say, well, I'm going to do this. Hey, it was light. Here's 20 less. Here's 50 less. No, this is what I say. If there's miscommunication, and I believe it's miscommunication, I'll make it right, you know. Right. Or if you agree to this and the house is better, hey, here's an, you know, a million occasions, hey, here's another $30 for gas because you're coming in from Cali and you were working cheap, but we did really well, you know, because $100, $200 isn't making or breaking my life in any way. Right. But I, you know, I explained to Danny, hey, I want to come in, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, well, you know, I appreciate it, and I like your work. And again, I'm not saying that you're not worth this number, but that's a number that just doesn't work, especially when we're doing school shows, you know. And I have numbers on Bay and Hammerstone who I'm not having anybody go ahead of. Now, obviously, if I brought in Rhino to a school show, I'm going to pay him more, or Matt Cardona, they're going to pay their rate, you know.
Right.
Or guys who've gone on, the Titos and the Chase and the Royce Isaacs and Jarrells and things like that. But Danny understood. He was like, hey, you know, I like coming to Vegas. I got friends out here. You know, I make sure I get him a room, so that saves him. So we have a good agreement, you know. And it's like, hey, the casino shows, I'm going to do better for you. This is what I could do for this. And it's the same with a lot of the other guys. And even the normal guys that are based out of Vegas that we use, they all get paid more on a casino show, you know, whether it's $10 more, $20 more, $40 more, everybody's going to get paid a little bit more. Now, sure. Oh, why don't Joe pay out more money? He made a lot at the anniversary show. Well, you know, what about when we lost at the Silver Nugget because the place was closed and the last two shows did the shits? I wasn't taking money away from an envelope, you know, and, you know, it is what it is. So if you look, there's a reason why people that you see there have been around a long time. They understand it. They understand also that everything isn't a money grab, how much I can make. Well, this is my rate. You don't want to pay my rate. And again, we've had people, and again, no harm, no foul, guys that we push, guys that we've helped, guys that have gotten WWE opportunities to be extras and stuff that they weren't even on the radar till, you know, Gabe Sapolsky comes to Vegas and sees some of those guys on a show. Is what right. It is. I can't force somebody to work for less money or not enough money. I totally get it. And I don't have any issues with it, but I can't be like, oh, okay, you're a mid-card guy and you feel you deserve this. And again, I'm not saying you don't, but if I pay you that, now I got to pay Limelight and I got to pay Bay because it would be totally disrespectful for everything they've done. So, you know, you try to get the happy medium and you try to get people, but it's no different, you know. GCW is not paying you your rate. You're going in there with the expectation that it's going to help you elsewhere, and it's a bigger platform to perform under. You're always trying to better yourself. You know, there's so many independent wrestling shows these days, and there's so many of them, ours included, because we run small school shows, that right. You're wrestling in front of 50, 70, 120 people. But there's not very many that you're going to get the opportunity to wrestle in front of 600 plus people. So a lot of people think, which I would be one of them, that, hey, that's a benefit. I understand. I got to make this amount over there, but I can't get to that show with 600 people if I'm not working the smaller shows for less money.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, you know, some of these guys, oh, yeah, I can do the casino show. It's like, well, that's great, but I can't use it for the casino show. We kind of build stories. And to bring some random guy into a casino show to pay him more because you don't want to work for me for less on the school show, I'm now going to leave somebody else off that has gone through the system and we've written a story for him or whatever it is.
Right.
And, you know, so... Again, not everybody, you know, not everybody's okay with it. which is okay. You know, we want people who want to be there. It's the same thing with the training. Like, if you don't want to be there, you know, I know, like, back in the day, the Roland Alexanders, hey, you know, you had to go through a credit agency and basically paid your entire dues up front.
Yeah.
Even if you left after 2 weeks.
Yep.
And it's like, now you're fighting with them. Hey, I'm young. I'm 19. Was my, they just gave, did people sue and maybe win? I have no idea, but you're out $4,000, or if you don't pay it, now it was on your credit. Because I guarantee you a lot of those 19-year-old kids didn't pay the $4,000 to the credit card companies. There was probably a lot of chargebacks. But the bottom line is, hey, you're month to month. You could pay 3 months up front. We try not to do the really long-term commitment because I don't want somebody who doesn't want to be there. I don't want them to feel like, fuck, man, that FSW, they ruined my life, man. They banged me for $5,000. You know, I just couldn't do it physically. I only trained there for 3 weeks.
Yep.
That's how Buffalo Gym kind of did things in the past. And, oh, yeah. Keep taking that money. And, maybe that makes me a bad promoter, but I can't be a bad person and do that. It's like people, you know, go to Ticketmaster, go buy any ticket. Oh, no refunds. We write no refunds. Hey, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, okay, well, I can't give you a refund, but I'll give you credit toward another show. Sure. Like, I don't want people to be like, oh, fuck these motherfuckers. It's 40 bucks. It's 60 bucks. It's like, you know, Ticketmaster's the worst in that. You know, you're paying $60 on a $200 ticket just for a fee, you know? And it's like, hey, my partner just died. I can't make it. Can I get money back for one ticket? Ah, screw you.
You didn't buy the insurance.
Yes.
That's the thing now. Insurance. You got insurance.
Yeah.
But,
and like, even at Silverton, they offer that because I have to buy the tickets.
Right.
The insurance on the ticket. And it's like, you know what? You know, I'll eat the fees if I have to. They're $5. You know, it's not 100 people doing it. Yeah. If 100 people did it, then I'd have to change course.
Right.
But, you know, for less than $100, it's like I'm not going to lose a fan for $40.
Right.
You know. Well,
and in all honesty, Joe, you know, that's how Bassman was at UPW, right? That's how dues worked there. You know, you paid monthly dues. And if you didn't come back, you had no obligation. He wasn't looking to make the upfront. And guess what? His guys went on to be future stars of wrestling. It's the same theory that the promotion that is more concerned about what the guys go on to do are the promotions that are running right, you know. I mean, you know, again, and it stands the test, right? You know.
Yeah, and that's why we can have a 15th anniversary weekend and have a Hall of Fame ceremony that gets over extremely well. Like, you know, I guess because we hadn't done it for 5 years, and I remember it was kind of a big deal and people liked it, but you don't realize that because it's 5 years later, and we were going to do it in 2021, 22 for, you know, after everything was said and done with the pandemic, because obviously we didn't even have an anniversary show in 2020. Right. And then it was like, well, 21, then it was like, okay, you know what? We're ready. It's 2022, because it was still tough. We had a 2-day anniversary show.
Right.
And that was also, hey, social distance, this, I had to wear a mask, whatever the fuck it was. You know, so 2022, and then it was like, yeah, 2023. It just seems like it's been so far gone. And then it was like, you know what? You know, I feel that this might work again. And then after you do it, you're like, wow, I can't believe we didn't do it the last 2 years. It's right. Like, our hardcore fans love it. You know, Jamie and Fred, they've been coming forever. Jamie way longer than Fred. And, you know, Fred doesn't know who some of these people are, the Rushes and the Legacies and the thing. And, of course, Jamie does. And Chief's all excited because he got to see Rush. And it's like, oh, shit, Legacy's in the house, you know. And it's like, those shows used to kill at the Silver Nugget back in the day,
right,
with all those guys. And they helped build the fan base. Just because the fans today don't know who Legacy is doesn't mean he contributed any less to the success of the company. Legacy was the first guy ever to cash in a case. And the match was at the old FSW arena. And that was when Kenny King turned heel and joined the Hater Nation. He fucked Funny Bone over, and Legacy won the cash in the case.
Wow.
And he either beat Saiku or Remy Marcel to win the No Limits Championship.
Wow.
So this had to be 2010-ish.
So Kenny was already 47 at that time,
yeah,
too.
At that time, yes. Fresh off his victory against Disco Inferno.
Who, ironically enough, Disco was only 32. So
go figure. Go figure.
No, and you know, and I think that makes a lot of sense. Although I believe Mr. Cover said that he had a little touch of the food poisoning after eating a little bit of the Hall of Fame food. So
I ate a few sandwiches. Nobody else complained. Maybe Paulie ate something else. All we had was sandwiches and pizza. Domino's pizza.
And, you know, just very nice that Kevin took the time to surprise Paulie with.
Yeah, 100% on that. You know, I had hit him up, tried to get him there to actually make the appearance, you know, which I knew was a long shot. But then it was like, hey, we're getting closer. I'm like, hey, it'd be cool. You know, if you don't really want to do a thing about Paulie being inducted, it'd be great if you did one about celebrating 15 years. And it was like, hey, Joe, here's the video. And I'm like, you know, love Paulie, but I was crossing those fingers. We had the FSW mentioned, but, you know, it worked out great. And everybody, you know, and again, it was the Brandys and Heathers and George Furman's crew. And he had family that don't even come to the wrestling shows that came out for the induction. And as I said, you know, George is a guy, you know, his health wasn't doing that well. And, you know, the first time we did a fan inductee, sadly, Eileen had passed away months earlier. So it wasn't like she was being inducted. But she had cancer for years and remission and back again. And even, you know, like about 3 weeks before she passed, she came in and stopped in to say hello to everybody. And you could see how weak she was. And it was a pretty sad moment. But hey, you know what? She loved being at every show, you know. And with George, it was like, here's a guy that, it was always the Furman crew before. It was Brandy who used to come also. But Furman would bring the crew, and it'd be 8 and 12 and 10 and 12 and 8 and 14. And then all people becoming friends, and it's a whole row of you know, me typing up the reserve signs, and it would make it easier. It wouldn't be like, oh, let me put reserve for Heather, reserve for Brandy, reserve for David, reserve for... It was reserved for the Furman crew.
Yeah.
And, you know, that turned out to be, you know, a great move. And as I said, Kenny's always slid under the radar, but he was the guy first and foremost, you know, 1999. You know, I met him walking into Rush's school. And then when we did the Vegas Extreme and we had his buddy Lance, who I called Lance Escalade, and he had those big flip, big phones. That big, literally.
Yeah.
And that was what Lance would use to crack Kenny's opponent. And Kenny was a heel. And he couldn't really wrestle in 1999. You know, he was off tough enough. And they pieced together shit that made it look like this guy was really good. But he was the shits. And he was training to get better. And look at him now. It's crazy. Yeah. The only The guy who didn't get signed has had the longest and best wrestling career for of everybody other than John Morse.
Yeah. That's a great point. Yeah.
So it was like, it was a great class. And now it makes me think, oh man, can't wait next year. And it's like, who the fuck are we putting in next year? You know, so now I got all the fans, you know, Jamie's like, hey, am I going in next year? Is somebody, am I going? All the fans are shooting for that spot.
Right.
Maybe I have to auction it off to the highest bidder.
Well, you know, you can make Glenn King a two-time Hall of Famer.
He didn't even come to the anniversary.
I know.
Hey, in a match with Kenny and Hammerstone.
You do realize if it was an all-women show, he would have been front row center.
We had a four-way women's match for him.
You know, I know. So the burning question is Santana Jackson still at the Silverton doing his makeup?
Yeah, interesting story. So again, I'm running around. It's the first match. And it was like, okay, this is how it's going to work, Melissa. So we're going to introduce everybody before 5 o'clock. Tom's sitting right there doing the ring bell. Told him we needed refs for the battle royal and the cash in the case. But whatever. So he's there, which is good because he knows the names of the wrestlers and she doesn't, to like who was eliminated.
Right.
So what we're going to do is we're going to go to like 4:56, whatever it is. You're going to introduce them one by one. Then we're going to play the video package. And then at 5 o'clock, we're going to start the match. She introduces everybody. They ring the fucking bell. It's like, it's 4:57. What the fuck is going on? And again, it's these little things like, don't anybody listen? Which is like, hey, well, the match is going to be 3 minutes shorter. You know, the time, by the time it ends at the end of the day, the match ain't going to be 3 minutes shorter. And it was a pretty quick battle royal. Far cry from the year before. Well done. Toss those fuckers out of there. But it was like, that was the beginning of the nightmare of the internet and not having streaming and everything we had to deal with. But, you know, fortunately, as I said, all the matches went great. And on the outside, it's like, it looks fantastic to everybody involved. You know, of course the Silverton was happy. Right. They did good numbers with one bartender. Imagine if they had two the whole show. And they did for the majority of the show, but that was in the beginning when shows are about to start. That's when you need the most people because they're sitting around waiting for a show to start. Hey, let's grab a drink.
Right. Yep. You know, you mentioned a little bit about the Fatal Four Way, the tag team match. New tag team champions. Very solid match. We know that Robbie Litt's been banged up a little bit, so. You know, nice to kind of give those guys a little bit of a rest, essentially. But, you know, realistically, man, Class and Reno, when you look at those two guys and you look at two guys who have, you know, kind of the full package that I think either major company would be looking for, even TNA at this point.
I don't like Reno's hairdo. I don't like him bald.
Yeah, well, I don't know if he has much choice.
Yeah, I do understand that.
Yeah,
we have one of my favorite wrestlers in FSW trying to hold on for dear life when it comes to that. And every time I see him, it's like the first thing I notice is that hairline.
But
believe me, I know what it's like to not have a hairline.
No. I haven't had a hairline since I was like
9.
Yeah, no, you're not too far off. But, you know, when you look at those two as tag champs now, it really gives an opportunity. I mean, obviously, Class has, you know, been a champ in FSW, but it gives a chance for them to, you know, elevate the game a little bit more, which could, you know, translate again as a tag team to something on a bigger scale for them. You know, is it just that that time is right for now to give them that opportunity to see, you know, if they could hold their own potentially against some of the bigger guys if, let's say, a Tito and Che is available?
Yeah, you know, I was talking to Tito the other day, and I guess Santino is doing something the 27th because we have the shows the 6th and the 27th. And Tito's pretty free with Japan, and so he's got an open schedule. He's like, hey, I got a good amount of open dates. And it was like 6th and 27th. And he's like, fuck, those are like two of the dates I'm booked on, you know. And the idea is Tito in the singles or Tito and Che. You know, we've seen a team similar to the Billionaire Boys Club who've come in, won a couple matches, Dutra and Wise Guy.
Yeah.
And they're solid as can be. And the Regulators, you know, they could have had that match won. They're that team. And, you know, I've been praising them. And Makeshift Chemistry, AJ and Fox, I think they've taken a step ahead of the other younger tag teams. You know, Killer D's are good, Mariachis, but they're still young. And I wouldn't say if they're less experienced, but I think Makeshift Chemistry is kind of, you know, jumped. I always joke about, hey, there's the B teams, which are the younger teams that are trying to get their foot in the door and trying to take out. Well, Makeshift Chemistry have had matches with the Regulators and with Dutra and Wise Guy, and those matches have been excellent. So they're a team that, you know, I could see anywhere 6 months to a year that they are a legitimate threat to become tag team champions. And then you got Sky High, and you still got the MK Army. And, you know, there's a lot going on in the tag division, and then there's going to be frustrated singles guys who are going to say, hey, you know, it would really be cool, me and my buddy, blah, 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 you know, would like to maybe get some tag matches. So you never know where you're going to get them out of. You know, I was not really for AJ and Fox to be a tag team, you know, and then everybody was putting over Fox, and then everybody started putting over AJ, and they were doing some tag stuff around, and I was like, okay, well, I needed somebody for the match. And it's like, I'm not one who's going to argue a good team. They're a good team. Right. And their improvement level has been quicker than the other teams because they all have to get better, but they're getting better quicker than the other teams. And, you know, I'll tell you right now, Makeshift Chemistry, where at their experience level, are way better than Sky High was at that level.
I agree.
You know, Sky High progressed, you know, continually progressed.
Right.
With the quickness with Makeshift Chemistry, you know, I can't say enough good things about him. You know, Fox's attitude's always been awesome, always helpful. AJ was a little bumpy in the beginning, but, you know, he had Jay Vidal as a mentor. And, you know, there was people who would tell him, you know, don't be a dumb fuck. And, you know, and again, it's easy to say don't be a dumb fuck and still be a dumb fuck.
Yeah.
You know, but AJ listened and matured quickly.
Right.
In this business, you know, started off, hey, he was told being a ref would be a good way to get started. Then when he got to be a good ref, by being worried that he's not going to get on a show, he kind of would be like making a decision on his own. And it's like, listen, bro, just because you wrestled a match on Future Shock doesn't mean if I don't need you to ref, you're not going to fucking ref. What do you mean? You didn't bring your gear. You know what I mean? And, you know, and it's the growing pains, and we see them, and with younger talent, and they don't want to be pigeonholed. Like, oh, fuck. And that's why a lot of them don't exceed as referees, because that's basically just a foot holding the door open, not a foot in the door. They want that as the way to catapult them right into being on wrestling shows. So, you know, remember, AJ's first match, I believe, was Countdown to Midnight against Brandon G. Yeah. After the referee stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It's hard to believe that was only 6 months ago.
Right.
So, yeah, that's crazy. Now that I'm thinking about it, it's like, am I wrong? Was it the year before? And I'm like, I don't think it was.
Well, now, you know, it would have to be the year before, because he was, well, was it his first?
Because he was repping. I don't think it was a year and a half ago, because Jay Vidal was when he came out. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, it would have been because Jay has been, I mean, that's how this time has been condensed, right? It just feels like.
Yeah, who knows?
But still, I mean.
In a year and a half, he went from his first match to be considered a top tag team.
To selling
t-shirts.
Like, that's huge, to be honest, right? You know, and you know, Fox, you can't show Fox short on it either, man.
Hey, he's got a victory in his rookie year, because remember, that was his rookie year. He beat Damian Drake.
Yeah. Yeah. And speaking of Damian Drake, Bodhi, no longer your No Limits champion. Damian pulls it off. What's in store for Mr. Moody Emo, I hate people guy?
Well, you know, here is a guy who we talk about. He was the initial young prodigy, you know, 18, 19 years old, and had success early, and the fans loved him. And then, you know, No Limits champion. And then he stepped in and became the Unguided with Matt Vandergriff, and they had huge success, tag team champions. And then they kind of had their in and out. But they had, you know, a 60-minute Iron Man match that was excellent, that he was victorious on over Matt Vandergriff. But then somewhere after that, everything started to implode. And now all of a sudden he became, you know, Gene the Dancing Machine. And yeah, man, I'm going to dance. Hey, I'm going to get in Gregory Sharp's head by dancing with his girlfriend, who's the ring announcer. And not worry about matches, because hey, the fans love me, and whatever it was not doing well for him, because then he followed that up with a loss to a then rookie who, wow, on Damian Drake's worst day, you would think he'd be able to beat a rookie. And then the losses just continued to mount up. And finally, whoever it was, and or himself, you know, looked in the mirror and realized, you know, he was a caricature of himself. You know, I reminded him of a guy by the name of Mike Delight, who was in the dress. And after a while, he got tired of being the dress, because being in the dress and being the dancing machine, it's like being in the circus. Everybody's laughing, and you think they're laughing with you, but after a while, they start laughing at you. Like, hey, dance for me. Dance for me. You know?
Right.
Here's a dollar. Dance for me. And now the respect of the guy from The Unguided and the young prodigy wears off. Now everybody's looking at, what are you good for? And the best thing that could happen was he basically snapped.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes you may not like people's attitudes. You may not like the way they did things. But a perfect example was Gregory Sharp as Hyperstreak. Oh, everybody loves him. Hey, he's Hyperstreak. He's running around. Blah, 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 blah. And it was like, you know what? I'm wrestling Remy Marcel in the biggest match of my career in the finals. I've gotten to the finals of the Nevada State Championship. I've never held a title in professional wrestling in 11 years. And this guy, who you all love, is taking the canvas apart and pile driving me on plaques of wood. And the crowd is cheering for him. Yet I'm supposed to be the guy that everybody likes. Well, fuck you, motherfuckers. And look at Gregory Sharp now. Yeah. Instead of trying to appease and maybe make people happy, Gregory Sharp is now considered maybe one of the top, easily the top five wrestler on the West Coast.
Yeah. And a cash in the case holder right now.
And now a cash in the case holder. Longest running Nevada State champion. After all that. Hit pause. My dog's barking. It might be at the door.
So Joe just bought an IRA. you know, as we look here and wrap up on the anniversary show, what is, you know, you kind of mentioned it, what is the next date and time, and you know, what are we looking forward to in terms of, you know, you said we'll see Danny Limelight, obviously, and we got a match between a lumberjack match with Jake and Bateman.
That's a main event anywhere.
Yeah. Tell you.
Also, Ice Williams is going to discuss his return and what's going on. It seems like there's inner turmoil in the faction.
Yeah.
So we're probably going to hear from both parties, but Ice Williams is definitely on the docket for that one. We're working on the tag team situation. We have July 6th, July 27th. We kind of like are putting both things together. The tag team champions will be here on July 27th, the Billionaire Boys Club. July 6th, besides our teams that are here, there's no makeshift chemistry. AJ will be there. So we have right now signed Dutra and Wise Guy and also the Regulators.
Nice.
So possible number one contenders match. Not sure what we're doing in that. Now they add a third team to that one. As I said, the Nevada State champion. July 27th, we can announce a women's championship match. July 6th, our champion Maserati will be in the Caribbean for her all Caribbean wrestling, which is a pretty big deal down there. Mark Henry's a part of it and a lot of great talent. So the match signed for July 27th is Maserati defending against Alice Blair, part of Southwest Snuff, who will also be on hand the 6th, obviously, if it's a lumberjack match with Bateman and Jacob Austin Young. So I'm pretty sure Sugar Brown, obviously, maybe it ain't obvious, but it's obvious to me that there's a lot of unfinished business between both of those teams. So, as I said, we have a stacked card. We're going to have a probably fatal four-way on the 6th for the No Limits Championship. The winner will wrestle Damian Drake on July 27th. And one of the names in the Fatal Four-Way will be the young prodigy Bodhi, will be included in that match. So, okay, you know, we're figuring it all out. Danny Limelight will be there to wrestle. He will defend the heavyweight championship on July 6th. We're putting that together to see who he is going to wrestle. So we're still in the planning stages, even though it's quick and it's ahead of us. We got ideas, and now we just, you know, hopefully by this weekend, you know, tickets will be ready to go by Friday. And on Saturday or Sunday, we'll have at least, you know, half the card announced. So, you know, we got a lot. August 17th, FSW versus House of Glory is set. Their two main players, Amazing Red and Santana. They have a great young tag team out of there called the Main Event, M-A-N-E. They're going to be there. Also, we have announced Danny Limelight and Chris Bay will be there. The only major name that won't be able to make it that show is Hammerstone.
Right.
But I'm pretty sure Kenny King will be there, but we haven't finalized everything. So, you know, major discussions ahead. September 22nd, Survival of the Fittest, I assume we'll be at the Silverton. We've got the date on hold. We still need to have a little conversation, you know. Sure. And but that's the tentative date for that. So we got a lot going on. It's going to be a big show on the 6th. Like I said, you know, No Limits will be a contenders match for the title on the 27th. The women's match will be on the 27th. And the heavyweight championship and the Nevada State championships will be on the line on the 6th. And also the tag championships will defend on the 27th. So over the next two shows, all the titles will be defended.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, it's a nice little start fresh. Towards you know,
I was ready to name the show Aftermath, but being it's the 4th of July weekend, we got to pull the old tied and true. FSW presents Scars and Stripes.
Oh boy.
Still thinking if we can, you know, that was always the show that we would do it as part of Fan Appreciation Day. And we would do free burgers and dogs. So we may move the Fan Appreciation Day, since we got Scars and Stripes, to maybe the 27th, which if you purchase a ticket, maybe we have the free burger and dogs.
There we go. That sounds like a plan. And is it one person at the grill? So is everyone going to have to wait 40 minutes to get a...
Yes, but being that it's at the arena, there won't be 600 people there. And see, when you have a grill, you actually make like 15 hamburgers and 15 hot dogs at the same time.
Well, you know, it depends who's cooking.
It depends. You know, that used to be Jack Slammy's role. I would hit him up and see if he was available, but Trump might be having a rally. So he might be on hand selling hamburgers and hot dogs there.
Fair enough. All right, everyone. Thanks for tuning in this week. Until next time, we'll see you.